All right, our event is starting. It's 10 a.m. on a beautiful Sunday morning, and I want to welcome you all to our historic webcast of the Tai Chi Easy program. We are calling Promoting Health Using Tai Chi Easy. So welcome, everybody, and I'm going to introduce Dr. Yanka in a few moments. But I would like to just let you know that there will be a time for questions in a moment, and the instruction is to press *2 to be able to unmute yourself and raise your hand and ask a question. And just to check right now as we begin our session, I would like to invite you to take a look at the little box. If you're at the webcast, if you're participating in this event through the internet, there should be a little box on the left-hand corner of your screen. If you can just do a little show of hands there, if you don't have a question, just let us know that that connection is working. So go ahead and do that now. Okay. Guests joining us still, so welcome those of you coming in to our teleconference. Okay, so right now we were checking to see about questions and people, whether you can hear us and use the question box, all right, so people are very nicely just responding here, so thank you for letting us know that's working. So that's how it's going to work. If you have a question throughout the session, the left-hand corner of the screen, if you're participating through the webcast, you can just submit a question, and we'll get it here, and that will be handling questions as they come in during the Q&A section of our presentation. All right, so welcome, everybody, once again, to our webcast for Promoting Health Using Tai Chi Easy. So without further ado, I would like to invite Dr. Roger Yanka to step forward here and greet you all and let you know about the exciting programs that are coming up here. Dr. Roger Yanka, here we go.
Good morning, Josie. Thank you.
Hey. How are you?
I'm really well, and it's just a gorgeous, after many rainy days, it's a beautiful day. The grass is got those little sparkling drops of water on it. And you?
Wonderful. Yeah, it's a little cool here, but it's a really bright, gorgeous, beautiful day here. It's just a lot of greenery, and it feels like spring. A lot of great stuff happening. Yeah, I like it.
We're wishing everybody a happy spring, even if it's snowing. We've heard that there's some snow out east. So how shall we proceed, Josie, please.
Yes, okay. So we talked about this great idea of promoting health. And so I know that's a really big subject, and that's something that really draws a lot of people. This is definitely an issue that is really current, really popular. I think we all know someone who has been ill, who is struggling with something. Right, either whether it be structural in their body, their bones, or something in their chemistry structure of their body. So definitely wellness is something that we can definitely have as an issue every day that we deal with. And the idea of promoting health, what's your philosophy of the true promotion of health? Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes, absolutely. And just to mention too, you mentioned that everybody knows someone who may be challenged by a health issue or may be challenged themselves. But we also should acknowledge that this society, and in fact developed the health in developed nations, is not that much better than the level of health in undeveloped nations. Undeveloped nations suffer with challenges of infectious diseases and famine, we are actually more at risk for chronic diseases, but no less at risk. And so the question of what is the view of the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi regarding health promotion and the concept of health promotion? Beautiful question. And it goes like this, that the human system, the human body, mind, and will include the spirit, too, are all a continuum of our being. And the human is self-regulatory, meaning that the human system regulates itself towards higher levels of function spontaneously. So, for instance, you spontaneously nourish yourself on a regular basis. You spontaneously drink water on a regular basis. If you don't, you can't self-regulate. So there are many things that we could be doing that create the potential for self-regulation or for the constant renewal of well-being or the moment-to-moment rehabilitation of functional capacity. That's happening all the time. But there are many things that we can do to either speed that up or slow that down. So as an example, we can exercise to accelerate well-being or to promote health, or we can not exercise and decelerate and unpromote health. Diet, exercise, stress mastery, all of those things, when they are applied, maximize function, and when they are neglected, create potential for challenge of function. So then, what is the best way, easiest, cheapest, best way? Now, you can imagine that because of my work, I have a bias about Qigong and Tai Chi, so I'm going to say that the best way for promoting health is to have a practice on a daily basis of something for the body, something for the mind, and a way to be able to open a channel between ourselves and our spiritual nature. And Qigong and Tai Chi do that. They do all of that. Address the body, increase the function of the physiology, address the mind, and increase the mind's capacity to understand what it is for and what it's doing. And, of course, to all of that opens a channel between our local self and our transcendental self. So that's promoting health at every level using one pretty darn simple tool. That's amazing. And so thank you for asking, and I hope I answered the question fairly well.
Yes, it sounds like a really thorough answer, right? Just the levels of body, mind, and spirit. That's just kind of a rare combination. And I could think of just all those modalities, and they're really good, right, that kind of emphasize one thing. You know what I'm talking about, where you just emphasize the body, or you just emphasize, you know, the spirit. Like, I'm thinking about talk therapy, for example, right, that where you're really working things out on one level, and it's all separate. It's all separate, right? So to actually try to do it together is really, that really feels like health all the way.
Yes, and I think that's your 21st century, that's one of the most important early breakthroughs of the 21st century is that, and, you know, it happened in the 20th century too, but we're really getting at it now. and I just read this article in Psychology Today. I was traveling to a conference and somebody left a Psychology Today, left sitting on their airplane seat. I picked it up. There's this beautiful article in there, just a short little article on the placebo. And it turns out, you know, the placebo is when you mobilize healing resources within you that don't have anything to do with a drug or a surgical procedure. The placebo is mobilized by the fact that you believe on some level or another that you will become more well. And they just did this study big study where they found out that even if you tell the person they're taking a placebo and they know, even if they know that the medicine that they're taking is actually nothing, they will still have an improvement in their health promotion, health enhancement and health promotion. And there's all this big buzz now in the scientific community about, because it used to be that you had to not tell the person, you had to lie to the person to make the placebo response occur. Now, this research proves that you can actually tell the truth about the placebo. You can let a person know that they have the capacity to heal themselves for no cost, with no medicine, with no external medicine, and they will have an improvement in their well-being. That is amazing.
Yeah, very amazing. That's very, very exciting. And what do you think is this changing in society that's making that available now?
Well, evolution. I think that the natural, you know, the natural capacity to move from, a one-celled to a multi-celled, and then from a multi-celled to a trillion-celled animal with no muscle between the thumb and the first finger, and then to move from being an animal that does not have a muscle between the thumb and the first finger to becoming an animal that does have a muscle between the thumb and the first finger, and then to be able to do fire, you know, the wheel, different kinds of political systems, now a democratic political system. So there's an overwhelming democratization of power. And so as we democratize power, as we realize, as the humans realize how powerful they are, this is just a natural consequence of that. So we're on to the next bit. And it used to be that the person at the top of the pile would have to say, you know, I've got fire now, you know, but now everybody has matches, and you know, you can just turn your stove on. Everybody's got fire, and so you there would probably be a point where somebody would say, "I am a healer," and then everybody'd say, "Oh, I have to find this healer." But now everybody can say, "I am a healer," and it's amazing.
Yes, and it's like I am a healer in the sense of I am the one that can heal. And I'm the one who has a healing influence on others.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm seeing here in the sea of callers here, it looks like we have a hand raised. Are we ready for a question here, Roger? What do you think?
Sure, that'd be
all
fun.
All right, okay, let's see. Okay, it looks like somebody here. So what you want to do is do a *2, all right? And that should put you right on the line. So if you still got your question there, go ahead and hit *2, and we'll hear you. Okay.
I would suggest that in the interest of keeping things going, which is something that can be stressful on a call like this, is if nothing happens, could we suggest that this person submit their question through the text box?
Okay, all right. So if you still got your question, it looks like the hand came down a moment ago. So we'll wait for your question on the text box, and then we'll open it up to Q&A in a moment. Okay, all right, so back to you. Sorry about that.
No problem. I think we were pretty conclusive on that last point. On to the next.
Yeah, so we talked about health promotion being a kind of a social readiness for that. And then you talked about, you know, just briefly about tools that you might have to do that, right? So somebody can promote their own health or really, really be in their own health, empower themselves through simple practices. And then there's the real practical thing about, well, how do I do that? I mean, where do I start to do that? I mean, I can make that decision to do that. You know, I can get all excited about it. And then, you know, where do I go? Where do I go to do something like that?
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah.
the classic, the breakthrough that we've had so far in the biggest sort of social sort of way is that nutrition, exercise, and stress management are the big three. And so the tools for, you know, in a very kind of generalistic sort of way, we can talk about Tai Chi and Qigong in a moment, the tools for accelerating well-being for reducing the risk for major chronic diseases, heart disease and strokes and any kind of neurological disorders and diabetes and all the major disorders that people think of, fibromyalgia, osteoporosis, chronic fatigue, headaches, pains, you know, all just anything that you can name, cancer, etc. The classic view, or we could even say the contemporary view, which is becoming the classic view, is nutrition, exercise, and stress, what we call stress mastery, mastering stress, mastering your capacity to reduce the negative effects of stress. So, you know, having an exercise program and paying attention to nutrition all are very, very important. And then some kind of meditation or other mind management, becoming capable of actually managing the rambunctious mind. Those are the three. Now, just to bring that down into Qigong and Tai Chi terms, Qigong and Tai Chi are exercise, and they are stress mastery practices. The other thing that Qigong and Tai Chi do is turn us on to how amazing any one small decision that we make in our lives can be. And then that begins to apply itself to nutrition. So in a way, you can extrapolate that Qigong and Tai Chi will help a person on every level, on all three of the, all of the big three, diet, exercise, stress reduction. And even you might say, well, how does Qigong have to do with my diet? And the answer is that when you're nourishing yourself with qi, when you're nourishing yourself with mindfulness, you know, from there, you're mindfulness. You're nourishing yourself with fresh ideas and taking control of the mind. With exercise, you're nourishing yourself by enhancing the capacity of the system to deliver nutrients to the cells. So how are we nourishing ourselves with Qigong? Well, first of all, we're taking in qi. But on the other hand, we're also convincing ourselves. So this is typical for a person who's on the learning curve of Qigong and Tai Chi, to convince oneself that small decisions matter. So taking a deep breath matters. Deciding to do a little practice matters. Well, also it also has an influence on how we address our refrigerator. So as you approach the refrigerator as a cultivated person, instead of just reaching in and satisfying an urge, it is typical for people who are cultivating themselves, body, mind, and spirit, to ask the question, why am I standing in front of the refrigerator? What am I doing here? And is this consistent with my goal of well-being? Do you see what I mean? So Qigong can even have an influence on your diet because it has an influence on your behavioral self.
So if I'm tracking you right, Roger, here, what you're saying, and it really, it's giving me goosebumps, actually, that I hear you say this, because it feels like something I can do. It feels like small decisions matter. So it's almost like all I have to do is to pay attention to really hang out with the small decisions, right? Like walking to the refrigerator or, taking my time in order to get to work, right? So it's like, am I going to rush or am I not going to rush? You know, these little tiny decisions that are just all over the place during the day. That's very exciting to me. And I'm also hearing that there's this sort of idea that you can kind of have these small decisions really be kind of in the center of your mind, kind of be in front of you. Is that kind of what you're saying? That they're more alive to you, you know, rather than like, oh, okay, if you treat everything like you're just going to like throw your keys wherever, and you know, then really what you're cultivating there is forgetfulness, right? I mean, and then you can't find your keys the next day in the morning when you're trying to get to work. So, you know, the decision, the little tiny decision is the you know, maybe hang your keys up. Right, the day before, right? Like, wow, simple, simple. But that somehow is going to promote your health, and that's exciting that that's kind of available. And it's like, why didn't I think of that? You know, it's like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and I think I like the idea of what you just said of organizing one's mind and one's focus and one's consciousness in a way that there's a the amount of effort that's required to organize a thought. It actually, I mean, it's not like carrying bags of cement around. It's not like lifting heavy luggage, you know. It's simply leaning back or sitting forward and organizing a thought. And so to bring certain thoughts to the front of our consciousness, this is all considered to be part of what the Chinese call cultivation, and Tai Chi and Qigong and even Tai Chi Easy. That's the beauty of Tai Chi Easy, right, is it's your small chunk of Tai Chi thinking rather than having a big overwhelming chunk of Tai Chi to organize. You want to just have a little tiny piece of Tai Chi to organize. But your key, your seed thought here, or your concept that you're working on, your topic, which is it possible for an individual to make the decision to organize their thinking in such a way as to improve their life? And the answer is absolutely yes. And it actually isn't as big a deal, because what we start to think about is, wait a minute, I'm going to have to discipline myself, and my least favorite thing is discipline. And, you know, as a teenager, when your parents would say, you know, you've got to discipline yourself, it was just the least important thing in your life. It was just the least important thing in our lives. And then we think, well, you know, we've still got the residue of, I don't want to discipline myself. But actually, discipline can be easy and it can be fun and it can be tiny. It could be like, for instance, saying that the next time my phone rings, I'm going to take a deep breath before I pick it up. And the amount of effort that's required to take the deep breath is nothing. And the amount of effort that's required to remember to do that is probably a little bit more. But eventually, when you realize, well, wait a minute, I'm not going to have to, you know, lift the front of my car off the ground. This is not that big a deal. I just take a deep breath on my way over to the phone. I think I can do that. I like your idea of these small thoughts being a starting place. And, of course, organizing a few small thoughts becomes then having organized more than one. And then maybe you get to, like, 5 or 10, and you realize, oh, my gosh, I just reorganized, like you said, I put my keys in a different place. I took a deep breath before I answered the phone. I've decided that before I turn on my car, I'm going to sit up really straight in my seat. These are all kind of Tai Chi Easy type practices.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, Tai Chi Easy. I mean, I'm remembering I'm coming off of a really big high because yesterday was the final training day of in Phoenix, Arizona, and it was just awesome that there was a story about that. Participant named Maria, who said, oh, yeah, you know, I was at the grocery store and it started getting stressed out about the long line. And then I remembered I could take a breath. And then she calmed down. And I love that story just because that's in Tai Chi Easy. So, you know, it's sounding like, wow, Tai Chi Easy is sort of like this secret little toolbox that's like all you need. It's a like travel size Tai Chi or something. What would you say? what do you think of that?
I think that's awesome. Kind of, I would add one thing to Maria's thought. It was not only when she saw the long line could she think to herself, oh, okay, I can take a deep breath now, but she could actually, if she wanted to, she could say that there's an entire conspiracy in the universe which created this long line for me so that I could have a little time to practice, because I've been struggling in my life, where am I going to put my practice? And now I've realized, oh, I'm in this line, I've got some time to do some of those really simple little things that touch the tips of my fingers with my thumb, you know, take some deeper breaths, lengthen my posture. Step up, step out, step my right foot out, step my left foot out, sink down into my knees, lengthen my spine.
I'm hearing here a lot of little decisions, right? Like, I make a decision to step out, I make a decision to, you know, lengthen my spine. And it's great. Sort of go back to that idea again. Wow.
So what Tai Chi Easy can become is what is sometimes called a pattern interrupt. Pattern interrupt. So we can have little teeny pattern interrupts. For instance, I've been sitting in the chair that I'm sitting in now for a while because I just got off of another interview in another environment. And so I've kind of gotten comfortable in this chair, and I could say to myself, how hard would it be for me to sit up really straight? And boom, I just did it. It wasn't that hard at all. And then I could think, once I'm sitting up straight, I could think, well, now that I've done that, why not take a deep breath? There's certainly more space for my lungs to expand given the fact that I've sat up straight. And then, you know, et cetera. So small little decisions. However, if you decide to do a Tai Chi Easy session, you know, with yourself, practice session, that could be 10 minutes. I could then say, well, get up out of this chair, put on my Tai Chi shoes, and walk for 5 minutes out to my special Tai Chi spot, which is in a park near where I live, and do Tai Chi for a while. And that's another small decision. It's got bigger consequences because I'm allowed, I've decided to walk out into nature, and it's interesting, just as I was saying that, these beautiful monarch butterflies just flew past my window here. And I think to myself, yes, I just sat up straight, but now I saw those beautiful butterflies. What if I would go outside? I would feel the breeze. I would be able to watch the trees and the wind. It's spring in California right now. It looks like Ireland. So I'd be walking around and absorbing all that vibrant green energy of nature. It's like these little small decisions start to pile up and become big breakthrough behavioral changes.
I like that. I'm just really tempted. Do you think there'd be time for a little practice to get a little sense of Tai Chi Easy?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Wonderful. I think that would be welcome. Let's see. So you want to go ahead and.
Sure, I will do that.
Started there.
What we'll do is we'll do the three intentful corrections followed by gathering the energy of the earth and the heaven. So the three intentful corrections, everybody please just join along. If you'd rather be standing, you could do that. Or if it's comfortable for you to just remain sitting, you can do that. If you're taking this whole thing pretty seriously and thinking, yeah, why don't I just go all the way, then if it's possible for you to stand, if it's comfortable and you're well enough to be able to stand, then do. And whether you're standing or sitting, first we will do the three intentful corrections. Body correction first. Now, if you're standing, sink into your knees a little bit. If you're sitting, feel yourself sinking into the chair. Lengthen your spine, so you'd be sitting up or standing up straight. Lengthen your spine. And then think to yourself, can I put my head more on top? And by golly, yes, you can put your head more on top. And then relax your shoulders. And then if you're sitting, your hands are probably resting in your lap. And if you're standing, your hands are by your side. Next is your breath, second intentful correction, the breath. Now first, just pay attention to your breath. Notice the breath. One of the ways to understand more about small changes is to notice the fact that noticing itself is a small change. So a moment ago I was noticing butterflies outside my window. Now I'm noticing the pace of my breathing. And then I can go on to take a deeper breath if it feels comfortable to do so, or even a couple of deep breaths. And as you are exhaling, exhale slowly. And unless you're suffering from chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder, COPD, you can let the breath out slowly through your nose. If you have lung challenges, you might want to experiment with letting the breath out slowly through pursed lips. And then the third intentful correction, also called sometimes mindful alignments or mindful adjustments. The third intentful correction, mindful adjustment, is mind focus. And the easiest mental focus to shift to in an environment like this is to pay attention to what's happening now. So notice where your fingers are. They might be touching your clothing. Notice where your feet are. Open your eyes and look around and notice where you are. And notice as you're doing that, you don't usually actually just look at what's going on around you in the room that you're in right now. Usually you're not doing that. Even though you may sit at this computer or at this phone a lot in your life, I'll bet that the way you're looking at the room now is not the way you perceive the room usually when you're on the phone. So notice that. And that's happening now. And then you can close your eyes and notice your breathing. You could check the body, scan the body for stress or tension, and do anything that you can to release that tension. And it's a little easier on the exhalation. So as you're exhaling, scan the body and look for tension. And then, so that's three intentful corrections. And we're going to kind of move along instead of spending too much time here. And as you can imagine, this is a kind of meditation that we're doing. You could call it Tai Chi meditation. We're focusing on the ground and the open space above the ground and your place between the earth and the sky. Noticing all of that. It's all like a meditation, bringing you into harmony and balance. And Tai Chi means, in a way, Tai Chi means harmony and balance. So as you're doing this, you're coming into harmony and balance. So it's a kind of Tai Chi. Pretty easy kind of Tai Chi, obviously. Now we're going to do what's called opening. And opening, if you're standing, means that you step out. Put some space between your feet. And if you're sitting, just adjust yourself so that you're comfortable. And then both sitting and standing, lengthen your spine. And we're going to do what's called gathering from the earth and heaven, or gathering from heaven and earth. And raise your hands to about the level of your heart, and they're facing you. Then, if you're sitting, bend forward. If you're standing, sink down, open your hands, and reach towards the ground. And gather, in a metaphoric sort of way, the energy of the earth, and then raise yourself up so that your hands come to about the level of your heart. And then reach upward. Stretch or don't stretch. Could be just a gentle reaching up, or it could be a vigorous, lengthy reaching up. And gathering, metaphorically gathering from the energy of the sky. And then bring that down towards your torso. And then reaching down again towards the earth in a deep, deep, restful, relaxed state, and gather the earth and bring it to about the level of your heart, and then reach up. And gathering from sky or the heaven. Now we're going to do this one more time. Sink down, gather. If you're sitting, bend over. in all cases, make it, take it easy, take it slow. This kind of exercise has all kinds of benefits for the going slowness of it. And then last time, reaching up, the big deep breath in, and then exhaling very, very slowly as your hands come drifting down. Now, if you're sitting, allow your hands to come drifting into your lap. If you're standing, allow your hands to come one over the other and settle over your belly button. If you're sitting, you could put your hands over your belly button too, your choice. And then let's have what we call Tai Chi meditation. Deep, slow, relaxed breath, slow exhalation through the nose. And then we'll just be quiet for like 30 seconds. Now, before we pop ourselves back to the level of paying attention and listening to concepts and maybe answering some questions, just rest there for a moment and notice that something has changed. You may actually feel the qi, what the Chinese call the qi, which is a sensation of flowing or tingling within your body. Or you may just simply feel more relaxed. Or you may feel something else, like a part of your body, which may mean that part of your body is asking for more of this. Or it could be that the qi is stuck in that area. There's a whole lot of different possible options for what you may be feeling right now. And by the way, everybody feels it a little bit differently. We all have a different constitution, and it's different times of day and different time zones and so forth. And then scan through one more time for any tension, see if you can release that. And then as you're doing the last bit, you know, now we use the breath to go into relaxation. Now let's use the breath to raise ourselves up into a more awake state. And I'm going to turn it back over to Josie.
Thank you, Dr. Yonka. Wow. Roger, that was amazing. It's so simple. It's so simple. And you said something that's really with me that I'd like you to just address a little bit as you said, jumping back into, you know, the concept here that we're exploring physically here with these practices is the benefits of going slow, of moving consciously, moving like this, simple movements done with a lot of, God, what would you call it? Attention, a lot of grace, a lot of, like, sincerity.
Attention, grace, sincerity. I like all of those. And there's a lot to be said, really, about the concept of exercise. We think of exercise as being for the body. But actually the definition of the word exercise is not limited to the body. It is anything that we do to explore whether or not we do or don't understand something. So let's do this mathematics exercise. Let's do this spelling exercise. Let's do this. So there's all kinds of exercises, number one. And one of the kinds of exercises is what I would call mind-body-spirit coordination. And we might think, well, how do you coordinate the spirit? Well, let's it's a little difficult to describe, and I'm not even sure that if I said something it would make any sense. So let's just focus mostly on the mind and the body, called mind-body coordination. This is an exercise in mind-body coordination. And going fast, like in boxing or running or football or basketball, that's an exercise in mind-body coordination too. So we don't want to say anything that suggests that going fast is wrong, because that would be wrong. What we're saying is that there is value to the coordination of the body and the mind in a context where things are going slow. That's the only part of the world of exercise that we're talking about. We're not talking about an emergency exercise. We're not talking about a tsunami warning exercise. We're not talking about an exercise to learn how to drive a car. We're just talking about one kind of exercise, and that is slow mind-body practice done in a highly attentive, graceful, and sincere sort of way. And I would add things like coordinated and so forth. By the way, you don't have to be coordinated to do this, and it may take you years to become coordinated. And it doesn't matter how long it takes, because the process of becoming more coordinated is a powerful, powerful exercise. The idea of being as coordinated as is possible, that's like a goal. And most of our lives is about process. All process goes towards goals, but it's the process itself that's the power of getting to the goal. So your question is about what is the benefit of exercise that goes slow? And the answer is that coordinating the relationship between the brain, spinal cord, and the muscles is just a beautiful dance that we do in life. And as younger people, we're naturally coordinated, you know, relative to our talents and special gifts and so forth. As time passes, as people get older, and I don't mean older than 20, because people who are in their 20s also really benefit from doing exercise that's slower. They're a little less patient with it, and they have a little less understanding for the value of it. But a lot of people who struggle with concentration, people who have learning challenges and so forth, younger people with learning challenges, really, really benefit from Qigong and Tai Chi. So let's take the age thing out of it and just talk about the benefits of coordinating movement in a purposeful sort of way for all age groups. And what it does is that it creates brain plasticity. Brain plasticity. And it also can help to turn the nervous system from the go side to the slow side. The go side has to do with adrenaline, and the slow side has to do with choline, a neurotransmitter, a piece of what makes up neurotransmitters called choline. And so let's just talk about the nervous system first. When we do slow practice, we're turning down the part of the nervous system that's urgently trying to figure things out, and there's adrenaline involved. And by the way, when adrenaline is involved, blood pressure goes up and the immune system decreases in its function. So just those two things, let's just follow those two things. When we do the kind of Qigong and Tai Chi which allows the body to go to slow, including the autonomic nervous system, we're going to lower blood pressure and we're going to increase immune function. And that's just two. That's just two. And then going over to the other piece that we talked about, brain plasticity. When you use your capacity, your mental and physical capacity, to study movements, in a way that are slowed down enough to be able to be forgiving. Because imagine if you were trying to learn the tango, or if you were trying to learn to, throw a basketball through a hoop after running all the way down the court. That is a lot of effort. It does enhance brain plasticity. But what we're saying here is that these slow practices allow for the increase of brain plasticity in people who aren't inclined to aggressive exercise-type practices. And that is huge, because most people are couch potatoes, and a lot of people, now we'll go back to the age thing, older people aren't inclined to fast practices. So to be able to have a slow practice, which enhances brain plasticity, and what I mean by enhancing brain plasticity is the sustaining of the function of the neurons that are in place today, and this is the beauty of the brain, actually building new neurological connections. There's all this science on this now that says that we can increase our neurological connections. And something simple and something slow and something that coordinates the breath and something that that with a very purposeful sort of component of the practice, mind focus, to put that movement, that breath, and that mind focus all together into one practice is one of the most profound things that a human being can do. And science and society are only just now beginning to discover how this works and why this is so incredible.
Yeah, I remember reading something about that. There was a term called neurotrophin, where this is basically the food that the brain survives on, you know, for the nerves, and it just kind of rather the neurons, just getting nourished. And of course, if your neurons are getting used, then signals are being communicated throughout your brain that you need this nourishment. And if you don't use your neurons, then you're not sending those signals that you need the nourishment. And so that kind of translating that into activity, it's like, okay, if you're doing something that challenges your mind or uses your mind, rather, maybe it's not so much about challenging, but to use the mind and the body and the spirit and everything is now, like you're saying, it's going to use your brain as well and then keep
yes.
you well.
Well, keep check this well. Out. I actually just happen to have at my fingertips the definition of neurotrophins. Neurotrophins are a family of proteins that induce the survival, development, and function of neurons. They belong to a class of growth factors. Now, that's huge right there, growth factors. Secreted proteins that are capable of signaling particular cells to survive, differentiate, and grow. This is basically what you've just kind of pointed out here, is that anything that turns on a neurotrophin is also turning on the capacity for maximizing cell life. And in this case, we're talking about the life of neurons and differentiation, which means, you know, helping these cells to figure out how to become most effectively what they need to become, and then grow, which means to actually, you know, build new ones. That's incredible.
Yeah, very, very exciting. And that's, you know, a simple practice.
Based on a simple practice.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, a simple practice that not only is easy for people to learn, but it's also a practice that's pretty easy for people to learn to share or teach.
Yeah, and that's the next level, isn't it? That's what we're talking about here. So one level is, you heal yourself. You know, you practice. You take it in. You benefit. And then there's going to be this group of people that wants to share. Really wants to share just because, you know, that's just how they are. That's just their nature. And the resource that's available is to share these practices. And share the practices. And it's very, very exciting, I think, because, I mean, when I jumped into that, decided, wow, I'm going to do this, it really, it really was amazing, just to begin to share very simple practices. And a lot of clients, students that I see, they say, wow, this is exercise I can do. You know, I can do this. And what they're saying is that I can experience the benefit, and it doesn't seem to cost me very much.
It doesn't cost anything.
Right. It's free. You just have to show up.
When you practice at home, it doesn't cost anything. When you practice at the YMCA, it doesn't cost very much. But then you learn while you're there, and then you take it home, and then you practice for free.
Yeah. The sharing of the practice and the true promotion of health that we were talking about earlier. Yeah, what do you think? Are we ready for Q&A here? We've got a few incoming questions here, and just wanted to share these with you here real quick. We've got a good set here. We've got a very active group. So I want to just share the first ones here. What style of Tai Chi would you say is Tai Chi Easy?
Uh-huh. Very good question. Tai Chi Easy is mostly intended to be based on the principles of Tai Chi. The principles of Tai Chi, and I'll give some examples, to lengthen the body and open, if you can think about what it might mean to open the body. So if you lengthen, that is, sit up straight and lift your head upward and then allow yourself to sink, part of what happens is that it opens the torso. It opens the space in the torso. And you can feel that. And then if you lift your arms just a little bit and then spread your elbows apart. So you lift your arms and then spread your elbows apart. Now what's happening is that you're opening the body laterally. And so that's one of the principles, to lengthen and open. Another one of the principles is to move the arms by moving the center. The center being the lower dantian, the belly button area, sometimes called the waist in Tai Chi, but it's actually the pelvic and lower abdominal part of the torso. So to move the arms by initiating the gesture from the center is another principle of Tai Chi. Another principle of Tai Chi is to turn the attention to a kind of a half inward, half outward point of view. A half inward, half outward point of view might mean noticing what's going on around you at the same time as withholding some of your attention internally and having an internal focus. And as you know, or many of you probably know, Tai Chi is considered to be, quote, an internal martial art, an internal martial art. And part of how it's internal is that it's both based on the chi internally, but also the structure of the body and the relationship of the bones and the placement of the bones. Another Tai Chi principle is to have some space between the elbow and the torso. It's a little bit like that whole concept of opening. Another concept in Tai Chi is to relax. And so we're very upright, but we're also relaxing. And so the question, what style or what family tradition is Tai Chi Easy based on, is the first answer is that Tai Chi Easy is based on principle. Now, the second answer is that the Chen family and the Yang family were the originators of Tai Chi. And so some of Tai Chi Easy is based on the Chen family concept of the internal center of the body being the source of the external movement. And in Tai Chi Easy, we do not deal with the concept of a martial application. I mean, certainly we acknowledge the martial applications, and we even explore some of those. But the if you were to take the Chen family's idea of expressing Fa Jing, meaning to use the center to cause a sudden a burst of energy at the exterior, we would sort of slow that down and simplify that a little bit, but definitely use the concept from Chen that has to do with spiraling and et cetera. And then also drawing upon the Yang family, and using the Yang family movements to some extent. The movements in Tai Chi Easy are to some extent from the Yang style, but they're also from the Chen, well, even the Wu style and the Sun style. They all have certain movements that are that they share, and Tai Chi Easy has some of that shared, those kind of archetypal movements associated with it as well. And I hope that, you know, if there's a second question on that, we can take it from there.
Yeah, it's an excellent answer. So just to summarize, you're talking about Tai Chi Easy is really based on Tai Chi principles that you can find actually in a lot of Tai Chi styles. And in particular, styles that are kind of borrowed from maybe a little more overtly are Yang and Chen, and that just like that. But then because it's principle-based, then you're just going to find other Tai Chi in it, or you know, just identify, recognize it, rather. Excellent. Okay, so how about another question? This is a really great question coming from Maria, and actually Maria seems to have two questions here. Thank you, Maria, for your question. The first question is, I'm curious to know how much Qigong teaching is included in the Tai Chi Easy practice leader training. So how much Qigong is there?
That's great. Well, what's really, really important about Tai Chi Easy is that it is founded in the Qigong, philosophy, the Qigong application. So we start with Qigong in Tai Chi Easy, and in fact, we use a little, one-liner that I'll just say right now, and that is, teach Qigong and call it Tai Chi. Now, there are people in the world who might find that upsetting, because particularly traditional martial arts approach to Tai Chi. However, it's really important to acknowledge one thing, and that is that the word Tai Chi, the concept and the sounds, the syllables of the sounds Tai Chi, which are representative of Chinese characters, and they have meanings in the Chinese language. The definition of Tai Chi translated into English is grand or very large. Tai means huge, really huge. And Chi or Ji means ultimate. And ultimate is kind of like, almost impossible to understand, something that's big, a big concept. So you have Tai, which means big, and then you have ultimate, which means big in a different way. So it's like big, big, or huge, big, or huge, ultimate. And so ultimately that's a cosmic concept. That is not a martial arts concept. A martial arts borrowed the term Tai Chi. And so in a way, Tai Chi Easy borrows the word, the concept Tai Chi, and applies it in a context where Qigong and the coordination of the three intentful corrections and the maximization of healing is the focus. And so we draw for the portion of the Tai Chi Easy program that's that is more like Qigong. We draw on 5 Tai Chi movements, and we do them in a very Qigong way. And then we also draw upon a system of Qigong, which is called Enhanced Vitality Qigong. And it's actually a kind of medical Qigong from China, very, very simplistic and quite profound form of Qigong practice. And so we bring the Tai Chi movements and the Qigong movements together in Tai Chi Easy in very, very Qigong-ish sorts of ways. And then the next question could be, and I should say this whether it is or isn't, how much Tai Chi is in Tai Chi Easy? And in Tai Chi Easy, we've pulled together the 5 archetypal gestures that are most commonly show up in all the different kinds of Tai Chi. And by the end of a Tai Chi Easy practice leader training, a person who's going to be a practice leader will know how to teach those Tai Chi movements in their Tai Chi context. In other words, take that, you know, add the walking and doing the hands and the feet together so that it's a little less like Tai Chi Qigong and a little bit more like standard Tai Chi, though quite brief and much easier.
Yeah, thank you for the thorough answer. Second question for Maria is, do you teach in Tai Chi Easy training, do you teach the exercise sitting as well as standing?
Yes, we teach... The concept for Tai Chi Easy is that it's meant to be citizen empowerment, wellness, health promotion, productivity enhancement, self-efficacy, resiliency, etc., all these things. And so all those kinds of practices, kind of health promotion type practices, can be used lying in a hospital bed, pre and post surgery. For older people, a lot of the Tai Chi Easy practice leaders work with Alzheimer's and other cognitive challenges. But the Tai Chi Easy is often used sitting down for people who are really struggling, who are relatively well but really struggling, like PTSD, people who are dealing with addictions and so forth. Often even well people do Tai Chi Easy sitting down because of the fact that they want to do it at their work while they're sitting at their desk. So there's a lot of focus on the sitting and a lot of focus on the standing.
Yeah, just a lot of focus.
Right? A lot of focus.
Yeah, a lot of focus. Great. There's a question here coming from Tom. It looks like you're offering programs in Kripalu, and the content is targeted maybe at a different audience. What would you say the audience is for the Kripalu programs?
Yes.
Coming up?
Well, typically there are 2 contexts in which the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi present the Tai Chi Easy body of information. And by the way, I should mention right now, just to so that people know, that we're also we've worked it out so that Tai Chi Easy is being licensed now to the Healer Within Foundation, which is a nonprofit. When Josie spoke moments ago about a training that happened in Arizona, she was talking about a training, a Tai Chi Easy practice leader training that happened in Arizona under the auspices of this licensing of the Tai Chi Easy program to a nonprofit for the distribution to a much, much wider reach. And Josie, maybe we should or can or will or won't talk more about that. So I'll go on to the question, which is, there are 2 contexts that we usually are working with Tai Chi Easy. Context 1 is that we train people to be Tai Chi Easy practice leaders. And the training that's going to be happening here in Santa Barbara in about a month or a little less is one of those. And we do Omega Institute. We do a training, and we've done it at the National Wellness Institute, and we do it in the fall at the Esalen Institute. These are professional trainings. Then we also do what we call public workshops. And this summer at Kripalu, I'm going to be doing a presentation of Tai Chi Easy as a public workshop. So this is not a practice leader training. It's just where people will come and learn to do Tai Chi Easy.
Oh, that's at Kripalu?
Correct.
Coming up later in the year?
That's August, probably.
August, okay, wonderful. Okay, that looks like our web questions here. So if you want to submit another question, there's still time for that. We have a few more minutes there. I want to open the floor now to people on the phone who might have questions. And so for that, now that we're opening it to everybody here, you want to press on your telephone *7 to talk, and that will just unmute you and make everybody hear your question. So we'll just make that available here and just let you know that that's available for you. We're talking about Tai Chi Easy as a professional training, as a professional certification. Dr. Roger Yonka just mentioned that the Healer Within Foundation, a nonprofit, has been given permission to teach or actually sponsor some programs in communities, and we just completed one yesterday. Very, very exciting. And it's, we had nurses and other professionals, nurse educators, administrators of health, a lot of health educators and promoters. So it was very interesting to really see that people are kind of tuning into that idea that promoting health kind of involves a lot of things, right? So it involves that sort of personal decision to, live your life in a certain way, but also to have some tools that you can offer to your community, that you can offer. It's like you can have that desire to help and kind of not know what to do. And Tai Chi Easy is a very, easy thing that you could offer to the community, right? So that people worked really hard getting through the 25-hour training, very much engaging. As Dr. Roger Yonka said, there was sitting Tai Chi, there was standing Tai Chi, there was walking Tai Chi, and there's a lot of fun that happened because going back to the principles that you were talking about, Roger, is that, we're really cultivating that relaxed state of Tai Chi, that being able to move in a Tai Chi way, that's really the thing that we were focusing on, and that's really what's in this program. And, so if you could speak a little bit to the Santa Barbara training and talk about that one a little bit, you're going to be the main teacher there, right?
Correct. And
main trainer?
Yes. By the way, for folks who want to take a peek at this, I think that there's a click box somewhere. Josie, would you describe that?
Yes, there's a little link that says, ready to train, right? If you click on that, that's going to give you a little bit of information there. It's on the left-hand side of your screen. So you can look at that if you're participating on this call here through the web. You can see that there's a big button there that you can click on. It will just give you a lot of information. And if you scroll down, there's a big Q&A document that we've put together as a result of some of these calls. So, if we didn't get to your question today, it might be in there. There's some really practical questions in there as well. So, I want to take a look at that. And there's also a link there for other programs, including the Kripalu program that we just mentioned, that was just mentioned here. If you go to the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi link there, you can take a look at the programs offered there, clicking on the calendar link. All right, so you can take a look.
If I'm interrupting something that you wanted to complete saying, or shall I go on to answer the...
Please go on.
So the beauty of this training in Santa Barbara is, number one, that it's in Santa Barbara. And for years, we found that it was really pretty expensive to do events here in Santa Barbara because it is an international destination. And we have one venue that I kept calling up. It's the Mission. There's a whole chain of missions here in California, and the Mission in Santa Barbara is widely reputed to be, you know, quote, the queen of the missions or the jewel of the missions, and it is gorgeous. And they used to have a retreat center there for the nuns and the padres, which they have now made open to the public. And the cost for us to be there is, it's just amazing. They haven't quite figured out the local pricing structure yet. So you can actually come and stay at the Mission for and have a room, granted it's a humble room, and all of your meals for just a whole lot less than you could even get a hotel room in this town. It's just amazing. And so it's a beautiful venue, and we do it in a five-day context so that it's a kind of a retreat-like schedule, and so there's plenty of time during that schedule for people to get out a little bit, take one of the afternoons off, and have free time for people to be able to go to our museums in the region or to the shore, to the beach. And the beauty of these trainings is that it's just a wonderful way to be able to get into Qigong and Tai Chi without having to, you know, shall we say, go all the way. And although what I will say in addition to that is that many people who do sort of put their foot in this way do go all the way, because the Tai Chi and Qigong are such powerful tools for people in their lives. A couple of very, very practical things about this particular training is that the nutrition at the Mission is excellent. You know, often you go to a retreat center and it's kind of like, you know, just pretty much humdrum cafeteria type situation. They actually have a guy who works there who's a chef, and we work very closely with the people who are in charge over there to develop our diet, our menus, and so forth. And so when you enroll, we actually get your food preferences and your food sensitivities, and they do a pretty darn good job of making that work. And the other thing, just real practical, is if people are interested in single lodging, all the rooms that are single with their own private bathroom, there's only a few of those. So it's easy enough to get into a single room, but most people have to share bathrooms, and their bathrooms are wonderful, and they're down the hall, and it's really fun. It's like, you know, it's like going to college. But if you are inclined to a single room with us, with your own bathroom, you've got to try to get your registration in pretty darn soon, because that one usually is limited. Mm-hmm. And there's probably some other things to say about it, Josie, but I kind of ended up on the practical level in the venue.
Yeah, that's, you know.
Is there anything else that you would want to hear about that?
Yeah, actually, there's a question that just came in, and this might be maybe our final question. We'll put out the request. We're just about ready to wrap up here in terms of our call time. But I'm getting a question here from Valerie. Thank you, Valerie, for your question. And it's a question here. What's the difference between Tai Chi Easy and something called Easy Tai Chi? And she gives us a URL here for easytaichi.com.
I'm familiar with that one. This is a person in Canada who has a program that is kind of a like a video. I think you receive a DVD in the mail, perhaps. And I really, really don't know much about it at all. What I do know is that there are a number of people have said that they've been to that program and came to this one to become a practice leader. One of the things that I'm very, very hesitant about, and it's just a professional behavior that I've developed, is that I'm kind of purposefully not very aware of the details about others' programs, particularly when people say, well, what do you think about, or, you know, do you think that this program is good or bad? I just don't like to answer those questions, and the easiest way to not answer a question which could potentially require that I would say, well, you know, I don't think that that's a very high-quality program. The easiest way to do that is just to not know anything about it. So I must admit that I know very little. Now, if you get to the point where you want to get to fine-tuning on information about the programming that we do have available through the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi, you'll go to taichieasy.org. You'll also go to iiqtc.org. Write that down, iiqtc.org. That's the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi. And you will find masses of information. We have libraries there which are not only libraries of simple insights, but also some pretty darn penetrating information. We have a research library which talks about all the research. And if for some reason you get to the point where you can't find a bit of information that you feel will help you to make the final discernment about which path to take as a learner, and even if that path is just simply to learn to practice, or if that path might be to become a practice leader or a teacher at some point, you can reach us. There are if you go to the contact, you'll find the info email, and you can email us there. And then, as Josie was just saying, the very, very thorough, frequently asked questions document that you will have access to. And having been on this call, you'll get an email that will point you in the direction of many of these things.
Yes, thank you. We're getting a very practical question from Chicago. Thank you. Looks like Catalina. Thank you so much for your question. And you're asking about a deadline for signing up for this upcoming Tai Chi Easy training.
I think I should have you answer that.
I was going to say I could answer that. The training is April 10th through the 15th, and you can sign up all the way down to the end, provided that, you know, we just know you're coming, just to know that we've planned that way. So I think that the 10th is that, that Sunday, and so if you register before that, you could qualify for a discount. So if you look at your ready to train now, you can see what the discount is. And, the discount could be just depending on what you select as your, choice for, lodging. It's like, you know, Roger was talking about single or double, you know, that sort of thing. You can qualify for a discount. So in other words, the sooner you act, the better, but we will take your reservation, that Friday before.
Well, Josie, we can say two other things. One is that sooner the better, so that we can let the kitchen staff know
coming,
they buy food. But the other one is that if you'll, you know, the early registration was set to curtail at March 20th, so we would need to know, have you been able to extend that for the people on this call?
Yes, we have been able to extend that, and there's also a special discount in addition to that if you're on this call. So I'll be sending the follow-up for that in the email.
Oh, boy. Well, I didn't even know that. So in other words, what you're saying is that there's a discount of about $200 that's posted here that's still available, and then there's going to be an additional discount?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, if you're on the call, so you can really, you could really save if you, you know, if you act soon. But you know, this is a decision that you make over time, and you know, we really want to make that encouragement that, you know, if you're feeling led, you, you know, you actually took the time on a Sunday, wow, to show up and ask questions. You know, there's something there about, you know, literally getting the call to explore how you can make a difference, to see, wow, is this another tool I can add? And I know that just from, you know, the fresh experience with the Phoenix group, it was very exciting to really see that in people's faces at the end of 25 hours of training. Wow, I'm ready to use this. I'm ready to use it, you know, and that was just really, you know, really exciting, pretty satisfying.
As a practical note wrapping up is, can you tell the folks when you're planning to get that a promotion code for that extra discount out to them?
Yes. Okay, that code is going to be coming out to you probably within the next 24 hours. Okay, and that's, we're trying to time that at the same time that the replay for this call. Some of us, or some people who signed up weren't available for the call, but we do want to put that available out there if you intended to come and, you know, didn't make it. So look out for that email. It's going to be, have a subject like follow up on the call or replay or something like that. And you could look for those details and then sign up. Sign up when you're ready.
Well, thank you, Josie, for your support here this morning. And thank you, everyone who's on the call. And thanks to everyone who listens to the replay. We, you know, our mission is basically to have a groundswell, a sea change in how empowered people are internationally. And we have a little buzz line that we say that we train thousands to inspire millions to heal themselves for free. And so, you know, we love everybody who's a part of that, and there's a whole bunch of people. We've got about 1,000 people that we've trained already who are involved in all of this, and it's very, very exciting. So we look forward to meeting you however we do. And, Josie, thank you. Your closing remarks, and I think we're there.
All right. Thank you, Roger. Have a great day, everyone, and see you on the next call. All right.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye now.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Moderator ID accepted. All guests are currently unmuted. To mute all guests, press pound pound. For help with host options, press star 0. You will now be connected with the conference.